Welcome to Forum on WSMI. Law enforcement is under the microscope in a big way in this country right now at this point in time. And we had an extended conversation on WSMI with Montgomery County Sheriff Rick Robbins about the challenges of the times. Our guest is Sheriff Rick Robbins. Sheriff, how are you?
I am fabulous and great to be at this location.
Well, pretty active time this month over at the county jail and for the sheriff's office and all of the law enforcement agencies you work with. First of all, let's just talk about the jail itself. You went above and beyond to keep that as COVID-19 free as possible.
Yes, as soon as it started in the Chicago area, most jails throughout Illinois started changing procedures of how we were intaking new inmates, detainees, as we call them in the state of Illinois, for jails, from taking temperatures to trying our best to isolate a new person that comes into jail for 24 to 72 hours or as long as we could, and continuously checking them, their symptoms, to hopefully make sure that they weren't infected.
Well, the operation in Taylorville this week, where what I believe 17 arrests happened tied to methamphetamine, really gave some insight, I think, to just how long and hard you work in these cases. I think they said the investigation began 6 months, and likewise, before the jail opened up fully for business back at the start of the month, I guess you have tabs on people, and you just wait for the right time to move, and boy, really making an impact this month.
Yes, kind of opened our business doors, per se, June 1st at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office Jail. I'm kind of relaying it with certain terms, and I've called Operation Back in Business. We've had phase one so far. We started phase two last night with some more warrant arrests. Weren't as productive as we were, and a lot of that I'm guiding or gauging on the population of our jail. I can only house so many. So I'm looking at that and still trying to keep us COVID-free at the same time. So there's a lot of balancing acts throughout the county.
And it's really neat to see how the law enforcement agencies operate as spokes in a wheel, because I always take a sheriff's office in a Montgomery or Christian County or even a bigger county like Sangamon, and I start divvying up how many square miles each deputy represents. I realize it's not a full accurate representation, but I think of guys on patrol, and it's hard for the sheriff's office to do everything by itself, and it's hard for a department like Litchfield or Hillsborough to take on some semi-organized crime by themselves. This is a great example of how well you all work together.
Absolutely. It's honorable to work with other agencies that have this kind of same mindset that Montgomery County Law Enforcement does. And anytime I make a call to Chief Riker, Chief Leatham, Chief Kenny, or any other chiefs of Montgomery County Law Enforcement, we're all on board, and vice versa.
Well, going into the issue of meth, now I remember start of last decade, the state police carried around the materials. They had the big display, what this person looked like before meth, what they look like after meth. A lot of the folks behind the meth trade were locked up. A lot of people, I think, got the message. Now, it's been a few years. Does it feel like, I guess, it's time to hit that reset button, I guess, where we're telling the young people, hey, this is what meth does to you?
Yes. Back in the late 90s, I was still in the South Central Illinois Drug Task Force, had hair down to my buttocks, a big goatee, working undercover. And that's when the methamphetamine started showing up in Central Illinois. We started with the labs, the clandestine labs for manufacturing of methamphetamine. I worked with the Attorney General's office back then, and actually assisted in writing the new statute. Most of the attorneys did all that stuff. I just kind of showed them different things. The pseudoephedrine law, where you got to give your DNA, how many children you think you're going to have in your life, and hair samples, and actually it's only your driver's license, but and then they track that purchase. My wife still despises me for having something to do with that, but that's all right. But that started kind of the trickle part of that, and then we were able to send a lot of the cooks, manufacturers of meth, to prison. They've started getting out, and then the trade has completely changed. We're not seeing too much manufacturing of methamphetamine. Actually, we haven't seen any, and I'm knocking on wood somewhere here, all this genuine marble that we have in the studio. I can't find any wood. It's so nice. and a lot of them are out now. And then back in the day also, we'd always find, not always, if we found an illegal substance, it was normally a little quarter bag of marijuana in their pocket. That's not the case now at all. We run into marijuana on occasion, but it's a little corner bag of methamphetamine. We'll find somebody driving suspended. They've got a little bag of methamphetamine with them. A disorderly conduct, they got a little methamphetamine with them. And in my last press release, when we arrested, I think, 5, 6, 7, whatever it was, everyone, it was all meth, and no one had a job, was the common themes. And that's what we're finding. I don't know what this group is, how they survive in the world, or how they even think it's a good lifestyle. The addiction of the monster of methamphetamine is true, though. I feel sorry for the people that are addicted to a certain degree, but they're the only ones that can get themselves out of it.
Well, this whole conversation about law enforcement right now, and I have to certainly be careful. You try not to be a rubber stamp, but you also try to give a fair shake. And it seems to me like some of the conversations, and I talk to young reporters on occasion, it seems to me like there's a little bit of a disconnect from reality, that they've seen too many cop shows where there's a big deliberation before, you know, you solve a situation with a perpetrator or a suspect or a subject. Is that something you run into? I know everything's difficult to talk about right now, but it seems to me, well, first, you know, like I saw, like the 8 ways to avoid, you know, a greater escalated situation. And, you know, do you do a warning? Do you do this? Well, I don't think people realize how fast some of these situations unfold.
It's milliseconds. Milliseconds that things change. I can give you an example. A couple weeks ago, myself and an investigator were in the house. We were looking for some stolen guns. We had a suspect in mind. We thought the person might be in this house, and we're actually dealing with the owner of the house, a very nice lady. She's trying to put her dogs up, as she had said we could go look for this person in her house. As we're sitting there, totally not prepared for much of anything, just assisting her with her 2 dogs into another room, up the stairs comes our suspect. And immediately we draw our weapons. We think he's armed, possibly could be armed with the stolen weapons, and had multiple people tell us that. And it was just instant. And training is what gets us through this, training and experience. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, we train about as much as any other agency around that I know of. If I had more money and more time, I would even train more, because that is the value of training, is that millisecond. And it was just like we trained. The gentleman's left hand was hidden from us. He wouldn't bring it up until we yelled a little bit louder. And then he brought his left hand up, and he had a black cell phone in his hand. Easily, that could have been a pistol. But we've trained that exact scenario, and there was no issue whatsoever, and it worked out well.
And I guess that's a scary thing, too, is in some of these encounters, you have to rely on instinct, too. You have to have smarts, intel, and instincts, because some of these, you know, if you sit there and I got to go through these 5 steps in my head, that sounds pretty dangerous with a guy who has no fear or hesitation to use deadly force against you.
And you're behind the curve if that's their mindset. If they want to inflict harm on you, another citizen, your partner, or whatever, they've already made that decision. So your brain has to catch up to their decision. There's a, it's called the OODA loop, if you would like to look it up. Lieutenant Colonel John Boyd has written about combat and how jet fighters have to fight through the OODA loop of the human brain, the human mind, and how it works. And when you're behind, it's almost impossible to catch up. You can almost tie it, but you cannot catch up. So you have to be prepared and trained for those to have that step up if you possibly can.
I know I talk to people in law enforcement. Recruitment becomes a bigger and bigger concern. I mean, you're not a major urban department where you have to hire 20, 30, or 40 people in a two- or three-year period, but what are you running into when recruitment does come up?
A very small group of people showing up. Those people normally have zero experience, maybe no experience from even college or the military, which we look for as much as we possibly can, one or the other or both, if there's no law enforcement experience, and very few of those even. So we go through the whole testing process. Some work, some do not, and it is getting very difficult. But I also say that when we have this conversation of any other business in our area, it's the same type of thing in rural America as finding any people that are qualified that would like to work or even want to show up and where we can train them. It's becoming more difficult. And then when you talk about an urban setting or a larger city, there are a lot more numbers. So it takes a couple, two or three bad apples in that to make a difference. It takes one in an agency my size. So we get one bad person, and it can devastate us.
Well, looking at the congressman, Rodney Davis, is among Republicans pushing the Justice Act. He talks about a number of issues in this area. Just your thoughts on chokeholds. I realize non-lethal force can be a pretty tricky business. Just any thoughts on chokeholds, and I know any kind of non-lethal use of force can be, I guess, can be problematic depending on who you're dealing with, health issues, what have you. Just any thoughts on that process?
Yeah, the state of Illinois, from the executive order from President Trump, is already set up pretty good. We have mandated training that keeps you per se certified. If you don't have that training, you can have some adverse effects in investigations and courts and stuff like that. The chokehold is not used in the state of Illinois already. There are some other techniques that are. I foresee some of that even changing. Legislation in Illinois is very, very, very aggressive with this kind of stuff, and I think they're going to jump all over it. And it's not good for law enforcement. It's not good for the safety of our citizens because it just keeps us from keeping us safe. If we can't even keep ourselves safe, how are we supposed to keep our citizens safe? Which is our number one priority, is life and safety of the citizens that we protect. And, man, it's I hate to see what's going to happen.
Well, you talk about training, and I think about that whole area. Martial arts comes to mind where they study pressure points and all that. And it seems, you talk about training, it seems like having an understanding of not only the how you apply things, but understanding the effect seems to be at the very core of the, if there's a problem, that seems to be at the core of the problem.
Yes. And what drives use of force is the, I'm going to say, bad guy or bad girl. The bad person who drives use of force. It's not law enforcement if we're doing our job correctly. If Sean does something, I have to react and go maybe a little bit higher than where he's at to defeat what he's doing. If he goes down, then I go down. If he goes back up, then I go back up. And then they talk about warnings. Sometimes you don't have that time frame. When a gun comes out and you're at a bad guy's house and he's not supposed to have a gun, whatever, you don't have time to do anything else but use deadly force. And if we train properly, yes, we still will make mistakes, but it just helps out immensely and by doing that.
Well, we thank Sheriff Rick Robbins for joining us, and we thank you for joining us for another edition of Forum. I'm Sean Valente. We'll See you again next weekend right here on WSMI.